Hello, I am Saf Chagrin, podcast maven and president of the Podfix Network. And I am here to let a cat out of the bag. This November, the Podfix Network will be participating in something I think you will get a kick out of. It's called NAPOD POMO, or National Podcast Post Month. Every day of the month, we will be busy as bees, as we bring you the Podfix phrase of the day. Each member of the Podfix Network will introduce you to a simple phrase or idiom by filling in the blanks on its origin, and even teach some old dogs new tricks by helping you use them in your day-to-day lives. Now, in order to really make a mountain out of this molehill, and ensure this isn't just for the birds, the Podfix Network will be giving away a prize pack each week for someone who can show they used any of the phrases in their real lives. Text to a loved one. Letter to a co-worker. Zoom call meeting. Even grocery store chit-chat. Just play it by ear and drop it out of the blue. Then email us at podfixnetwork@gmail.com. At the end of the month, 5 winners will be drawn at random to win. Piece of cake, right? And that cake even has icing. Wait. That's not right. But you know what I mean. You will make new friends by introducing them to a new saying, and more importantly introducing them to the network. The world then will truly be your oyster. Finally, before it slips my mind, and to ensure you don't miss the boat, I want to put a bug in your ear. Subscribe to Podfix Presents today wherever you listen to podcasts, so none of the NAPOD POMO episodes fall on deaf ears. That's Podfix Presents, the official podcast of the Podfix Network. Artist owned. And loved.
Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
This has escalated quickly.
Well, hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more. Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. Adam is not with us today. Instead, we have one of my very favorite people from the world of comedy. All the way from London, please welcome from Release the Clowns, Alex Marion.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm great. Man, I'm really excited to have you.
Oh, it's nice to be on. Always a pleasure.
And you've been on before, because a few months ago, for those that are fans of comedy, you and Nick Hildred came on and we did a long-form interview.
Yeah, that was really good. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, I did as well. So, question for you. You're married. Do you have children?
No children.
No children. Do you, I guess maybe not you specifically, but generally, because of course you're in London, we're in the States, do people celebrate Halloween over there? Because today is Halloween.
Yeah, they do. I mean, we've always done trick or treat. I think it's a much bigger thing now than it used to be. It's always been huge in America, hasn't it? But here it seems to get sort of bigger every year.
Tell me about that. How has it gotten bigger and why?
More parties, more celebrations, more pubs doing Halloween-themed nights, more streets decorated. It's a much bigger deal now than it was when I was a kid.
And what was it like when you were a kid? Just maybe trick-or-treating and...
Yeah, just a bit of trick-or-treating and then home and that was it.
And how's your selection of candy there?
We have a fine selection of candy.
Okay.
We still have access to all the European candy as well, for the moment.
I have some of these examples from when I was a child, but what are some things that you definitely hoped you got in your bag and other things that you definitely did not want?
I think things like juicy fruits, like chewing gums, those were always good. Starbursts, just general chocolates. The thing that we used to get when I was a kid that you don't get anymore is sweet cigarettes. I don't know what happened to that, but candy cigarettes we used to get.
Of course. And what about things that you would have been pretty disappointed? Like, for example, here, you would have had maybe a couple of parents on the street that wanted to make a statement, and then instead of giving you candy, they would give you, like, dental floss.
That never happened.
Really? Nothing really? You kind of roll your eyes and...
No, you'd get people who just wouldn't answer the door, but no one who would specifically open the door to mess up a child's evening.
Oh, no, we had some of that for sure. And then there's other things that maybe they might have made homemade at home, maybe to save some money. And
Oh, yeah. I made these cakes for you, children.
Right. And those were always very dicey and didn't usually carry very well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Terrific. All right. Well, why don't we get started and take a look at the calendar of special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week. So, as we said, today's Halloween. It's also National Carve a Pumpkin Day.
That's just a reminder, isn't it? Just wake up in the morning, oh, I haven't carved my pumpkin.
That's right. That's right. And it's also Hand a Sharp Knife to a Child Day.
Yeah, pumpkins are dangerous.
They're incredibly dangerous.
Carving pumpkins is a really dangerous thing to do. That's something we didn't do when I was a kid. The whole pumpkin thing has exploded here.
There's been an explosion of pumpkin carving in London.
An explosion of pumpkin carving all over the place.
Well, tomorrow is National Doorbell Day. That seems appropriate. Maybe a day late. Tuesday is National Magic Day.
That's a fine day.
Alex, do you like magic?
I love magic. I love magic. I think it's brilliant.
I do as well. Wednesday is National Deviled Egg Day. Thursday is National Sandwich Day.
See, now that's good planning. That's really good planning, isn't it? You have National Deviled Eggs Day, and the following day you have National Sandwich Day to use up all the deviled eggs.
That's right. Uh-huh. And then Friday is National Play Outside Day, and Saturday you can wrap up this week of celebrations with National Bison Day.
Do the bison appreciate it?
I think so. I think they prefer it to being ignored before they had a day.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I think National Play Outside Day and National Doorbell Day, that's a missed opportunity. They should be on the same day.
Well, you know, something we've done until recently is we've attempted to combine all our days from the weekend to one big day.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe it'd be something like, you know, Doorbell Day obviously goes with Halloween or Pumpkin Day. And then when this person opens the door, maybe they could you could perform some magic for them. And in exchange, they could give you a deviled egg sandwich day. You're already outside. And then, of course, you could bring your pet bison. So it might look something like that.
And ride off on your bison.
And then ride off on your bison. That's right.
See, now that's a day. That's a day I can get behind. It's also today in Britain. It's one of the high holidays of my people. It's National Knock Knock Joke Day.
You know, I knew that. And actually, I had some choices on which celebration to observe today, and that was one of them.
It's a fine thing. No one's done it to me yet, though. I'm still waiting for my first knock-knock joke of the day.
Yeah, and it's middle of the afternoon, so you're running out of opportunity.
Yeah. It's not one of those things like April Fool's Day that ends at midday, is it?
Does April Fool's end midday?
Yeah. You're not supposed to do it after midday.
Really?
Hmm.
Huh. I didn't know that. Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite knock-knock joke?
Oh, favorite knock-knock joke. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
No, you're a poo.
Yeah, that'll do. Okay, great. All right, Alex, with that, why don't we turn our attention to this week in history.
This week in history. Well, this week in history in 1926, the famous magician Harry Houdini died. And I believe that was the start of National Magic Day as well, wasn't it? There's a connection between the two things.
I believe so.
In 1945, an aircraft squadron disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle. Where do you stand on the Bermuda Triangle, Chris?
I stand outside of it so I don't get lost.
That's a good place to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a real thing? Or do you think it's just atmospheric conditions and weather?
You know, I want to believe it's a real thing, like it's something magical, like some magical black hole, but I think instead it's probably something mundane and easily explained, like atmospheric conditions.
Do you think Marjorie Taylor Greene calls it the Bejuda Triangle and blames it on space lasers?
I do think that.
1950, Earl Lloyd became the first black player in the NBA. What were they doing before? Was it just a load of tall white guys in shorts hanging around looking confused?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
1952, smog kills thousands in England and disappointed my wife. So what happened was they had these terrible clouds of smog And it was killing people every year. They had one particularly bad year. Loads of people died, and they introduced the Clean Air Act, which meant that they couldn't burn wood fires within cities anymore. And all the smog cleared up. The thing is, my wife's from Poland, and she thought when she came to London, it would be like Sherlock Holmes. Just smog everywhere.
Right.
And she was really disappointed. She also thought British people were all really polite, and she was disappointed about that as well.
Well, now, is that different in London versus out of London?
What, this smog? Or the politeness?
No, the politeness.
It is. It depends who you ask. If you ask people from outside London, they'll say yes. If you ask people from inside London, they'll say no.
Yeah, because I would figure that would be a big city versus outside the big city type thing, like it is here.
People in big cities tend to be, they have less time for other people generally.
That's right.
But people outside big cities pretend to be polite, but they're not really.
Well, no, they're polite on the outside. On the inside, they're judging you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
1961, Stalin's body was removed from Lenin's tomb. Was that like when you try and kid your way into the VIP room in a club?
First of all, I was very intrigued and hoping maybe you knew something about this. But was he renting it? Maybe his rental agreement ran out?
So basically what happened was Stalin gets buried. He gets put in Lenin's tomb, which is glass and open so everyone can see it. There's huge stampedes at his funeral. Hundreds of people were killed. And then gradually, all the people who'd worked with him all those years distanced themselves from him, said, no, it was nothing to do with us, all the bad stuff. It was just Uncle Joe. And so they de-Stalinized and removed all signs, all images of him, and took his body out of the tomb.
But what did they do with Lenin?
Oh, Lenin's still there. So they were side by side in the mausoleum.
Oh, they weren't like stacked on top of each other.
No, not stacked on top of each other. Okay. No, next to each other.
I was just going to say, they opened up the glass case and just crammed a second body in there. That would have been really awkward and not very fitting for a world leader.
So now I think about it, it makes me think of one of those scenes with Laurel and Hardy in bed together.
Right, or one of those pranks where you try to see how many people you can get into a phone booth.
Yeah, exactly. There's, yeah. Now I'm imagining Stalin's face pressed up against the glass.
Right, exactly. And that's the reason why they removed it, because they felt like...
It was scaring the children.
It was scaring the children. It didn't really fit. And someone finally said, hey, this is a little disrespectful.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, all right.
1963, the Beatles appear on the Ed Sullivan Show, paving the way for the British invasion. I don't get Ed Sullivan. I don't get how the arbiter of popular taste in America was a man who looked like a bad waxwork of Richard Nixon.
I'm so glad you said that, because no one's ever said that, and I think we're all thinking it. He's an icon of entertainment from that period, and I've never understood that either.
It's just a really disturbing image every time I see him.
I think he's very off-putting.
He is. He's really off-putting. In 1967, we had the first human heart transplant. In 1990, two ends of the Channel are connected. For those of you who aren't sure, the Channel is the tunnel that connects France and England. Mm-hmm. A brilliant thing about that. Are you aware of a man called Dominic Raab?
No.
So Dominic Raab, at this point in time, is the man who is second in command to Boris Johnson in the government. Boris Johnson is unable to govern... No, let me rephrase that, because that's every day. If Boris Johnson is medically unable to govern... Okay. Dominic Raab is the person who will stand in. Now, it's important you understand that before I tell you the next bit. Dominic Raab was also an enthusiastic campaigner for Brexit. After the referendum, he was made the minister for exiting the European Union. So you would assume this is a man who knows quite a lot about the European Union, how Britain interacts with it, and what needs to be done next. He publicly announced at that point that he'd only just realised how important the Channel was for trade between Britain and France.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
That's remarkable.
This is the same man who was also on holiday, as Foreign Secretary at the time, on holiday during the Afghanistan crisis.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That makes
and
sense.
Missed several phone calls that might have saved hundreds of lives.
Wow.
So... If anyone's wondering if being completely incompetent, knowing nothing, and totally failing to do your job is any impediment to progress in British politics, there's your answer. And that's good, because those people, the incompetent, not knowing how to do their jobs and not really caring about it people, they've been sidelined and marginalised for far too long.
Yeah, they're finally having their day. Good for them.
Yeah, yeah, good for them. And finally, this week in history, 1997, Good Will Hunting premieres in theatres. Now, I'm going to get this out there now. I hate Good Will Hunting.
Really?
I hate Good Will Hunting, and I hate Dead Poets Society. I love Robin Williams as a comedian, but I hate those films.
Now, why do you hate them?
I'm going to tell you now, as someone who's spent more than 20 years working with young people with behavioral difficulties, it's not that easy.
Okay.
You don't just walk into a room and they suddenly go, "Oh, despite my anger and my deep-seated insecurities and the chaos within my life that's prevented me from reaching any sort of potential so far, now someone's told me they care for me and that I'm good at something, I am going to reach my undoubted potential." It doesn't happen. If it was that easy, I would be out of a job.
Well, it took him almost 2 hours of the film.
Also, it's so bloody earnest. That film is so full of a sense of its own importance. I hate it.
Well, and you just gave the best portrayal of a school-aged child that's ever been given on this show. So thank you for that as well.
That was actually my impersonation of Matt Damon.
Adult Matt Damon.
yeah, adult Matt Damon.
Okay, all right. Thanks for the clarification.
Pretty good, wasn't it? Pretty good.
Yeah, spot on.
If Matt Damon's listening, he's going to be thinking, "I don't remember doing that."
Oh, he listens.
I'm sure he listens. He listens to everything.
Of course he does. All right, Alex, with that, how about the news?
Oh,
cue the jingle.
All right, Alex. Well, I consider it a special treat to have you on the show. And to celebrate that, this is maybe good news for you, but bad news for friend of the show, Keith Galla of the Pop-Up Filmcast, because today we're going to do news quick hits.
What's that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. What that means is instead of doing one news story, we're going to do multiple.
Right.
So we're going to kick it off with this. A Missouri woman who allegedly streaked naked across a football field full of eighth graders has been sacked by prosecutors.
Okay. She's been sacked by prosecutors.
Well, I'm glad you zeroed in on that, because this is not the British term for someone being fired, which I think is what it is, right?
Okay. So I'm going to try and work this out. There was in the crowd, or there were in the crowd, some people who are lawyers, public prosecutors, and as she was streaking across the field, they took her down in the backfield.
I think so. No, unfortunately, it's just a bad pun by the author from the New York Post.
Oh.
But in any case, 27-year-old Lacey Uthe of Jefferson City, Missouri, was charged with sexual misconduct involving a child under 15 last Wednesday in connection with the incident, according to court records. And before I go any further, I want to do this. I'm going to give you a visual. I want you to know who the person was that was streaking across the football field during an eighth grade football practice. So one second. I'm going to send you a link to this article.
Okay. Just opening up now. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that she might not have been entirely sure where she was or what was happening.
Well, Alex, she had taken some heroin before leaving her home in the nude.
It's the best time to do it.
Right. And she went to look for help because she thought she was going to die. So here's what happened. She jumped over the fence at the Helias football stadium wearing only a scarf. And by the way, if you're going to leave your house basically nude and just choose one piece of clothing, what piece of clothing would you choose? Would it be a scarf?
I think it would be a onesie.
See, I was going to say cape, but maybe a onesie's a better
choice. Cape would be fantastic. Now, if you're leaving the house after taking a heroin and determined to streak, a cape is definitely the thing to wear.
Yeah, if you're going to streak. I mean, if you're going to go grocery shopping, perhaps a onesie.
No. But if you're going to streak, if you're going to do anything involving fast forward motion, you want a cape.
Exactly. So she leaves the house nude except for a scarf. She hops the fence where 29 middle school age boys were practicing football. She was taken to the hospital and later posted a $10,000 bond. According to court records, the suspect has been charged with 6 other crimes and infractions since 2014. So she's built quite a resume.
Yeah. Were any of the rest of them streaking around children?
I don't know. Doesn't say. And on this show, we don't do more than cursory research.
Good. Because, you know, who wants to know more, really?
Well, perhaps everyone does, but that doesn't mean we're going to do it.
But now I think people are tired of knowing more. People just want to know the things they already know and have those confirmed to them, surely.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, next story. 21-year-old Christina Smith, a New Jersey woman who works in sales, was walking down the street on her way to McDonald's. And she heard a loud boom, and she didn't know what it was until that she realized that the back window of a nearby car was busted out and the roof was crushed. Would you like to guess what she heard?
Was she in the opening scene of Kick-Ass?
No, she wasn't. It was a 31-year-old man who jumped from a nearby 9th-story window.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But he didn't die. Instead, he fell through the sunroof of the car, crushing the roof in the process. He then climbed out of the car and fell to the ground. As people were gathering around him, they told him to stay down because they were explaining, hey, you don't know how hurt you are. And the guy jumped up and started screaming. His arm was completely twisted and very awkward and dangling by his right side.
And?
Well, Smith quickly called 911, but then immediately started taking pictures and videos, and because that's what you're supposed to do today.
Yeah, that's what you have to post this.
That's right. And again, I'm going to give you a visual because I don't think we could do the story justice without you seeing what I'm talking about. So I put another link in there. Alex, when you open the article, first of all, scroll through the pictures just briefly.
Oh, okay. So someone was taking photos before he'd even got out of the car.
It certainly seems like it.
Someone's immediate first reaction to seeing a human being in this situation was to take a photo of it.
That's right. Uh-huh. And if you'll notice, Alex, at the top of the article is a video, and I'll ask you to push play and just give me your impressions of the video.
Okay, let's have a look. Oh!
Yep. So when I say that his right arm was dangling awkwardly, that's what I'm talking about.
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
And again, I say, someone's filming this?
Right.
So what happened? Did the guy jump?
He did jump. He was actually trying to take his own life.
God, he's going to feel stupid.
Well, and Christina Smith speculated that it probably helped that he was, by her words, wearing a fluffy jacket, and said that she thought that the coat may have shielded him from deeper wounds.
I don't think Christina Smith has a very strong grasp of physics.
You don't think credit goes to the hoodie?
No, I don't think so, no.
It says, the article goes on and says, the man didn't work inside the building and it was unclear why he was there. I think we know now.
Yeah, I think it's quite clear why he was there.
He has refused to give cops his name and was not cooperating, but was taken to the hospital and is in critical condition, as you might guess.
Oh, that arm. Ooh.
Yeah, pretty outrageous. And Alex, our last story today. Christine Blanchard, age 43, ordered some groceries to be delivered to her home. The delivery person, who wants to just be referred to by her first name, so we'll call her Megan, explains what happened when she attempted to make the delivery. So she comes up to the door and the door opens and Blanchard's asked if she can give her a hug, which right off the bat, that's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in Megan's own words, as I hugged her, that's when she dragged me into the home and had me by the wrist in a position that I was unable to get away from. She pulled me all the way to the back of the house, down the hall, into her bedroom. And she, along the way, she was hitting me in the back of the head with her fists. And she was pulling out my hair and choking me. So I'll just let you catch up mentally as to what I just described.
Yeah, that's this has escalated quickly.
Right, that was exactly my response. It says Megan was able to get free and called 911. That's when she said Blanchard grabbed her phone and threw it across the room. Eventually, she was able to get free. She says, I ran through the house towards the front door. As I got there, there was about 5 or 6 deadbolts on the door that were locked. Now, I don't know how she had time to do that because I'm trying to envision the door
so
opens.
So she's grabbing both of her wrists in one hand, punching her in the back of the head with the other, and locking deadbolts?
And locking 6 deadbolts, right? That's where I got, where I kind of cocked my head and said, I'm not sure how that happened, but in any case, she got to the door, and all 6 were locked.
And this wasn't National Magic Day?
No, I don't think so. You would think so, okay. But it was not. Says she got to about the 3rd one when Blanchard caught up to her and jumped on her back. When police officers arrived on the scene, they could hear yelling from inside the residence, and upon entry, they found Blanchard on top of the victim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
It doesn't say. And again, we only do cursory research.
And why? Was it the hug that triggered all of this?
No, I think the hug was the method she was using to get close enough to the victim to drag her into the house.
And has Christine Blanchard been charged with anything?
Yes. Christine Blanchard was indicted and charged with aggravated kidnapping.
I would imagine she's also going to struggle to get any deliveries.
Right. She is going to get 1 star for that experience. That is not going to help her rating on Uber Eats. Yeah. Well, Alex, I'd like to apologize to you and our listeners because we do not have time for our next story.
Oh.
I know, but I do have a headline. Grimes breaks up with Elon Musk so she can focus on her lesbian space commune.
This is in the QAnon Times?
Yeah, it is. It is, actually. Lead story on the October issue.
Okay, who is Grimes?
Famous model musician, maybe? I don't actually know. I just know that she was dating, kind of in a married way, but they weren't married. She was dating Elon Musk for some time.
Okay, is she jealous of all the space ladies he's been kissing?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Alex, we don't have time. We'll have to get to it next episode. So I'll make the promise that I make on every episode. We will make every possible effort to get to that in a future episode.
I shall look forward to it.
Alex, do you have birthdays for us?
I do. We have a number of celebrity birthdays this week. Jenny McCarthy will be 49. Ethan Hawke, 51. Sean P. Diddy Diddy Puff Puffy Puff Daddy Combs. Should probably get a grown-up name for himself because he's 52. Matthew McConaughey, 52. Vanilla Ice, 54. Rob Schneider, 58. Very funny man, Rob Schneider. I like him in sketches. Not such a big fan of the movies, but very funny man. Jeff Probst? What is a Jeff Probst?
Jeff Probst is the, I think, creator and host of the CBS reality TV show Survivor.
Okay. Well, he's 59. Anthony Kiedis of the Chili Peppers, 59 as well. That makes me feel really old, and so does this. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, 60 years old.
I know. Can you believe it?
No, I really can't. And I noticed you had Billy Zabka's birthday not long ago as well.
I did. Mm-hmm.
And he's younger. He's younger than the Karate Kid.
But also Ralph Macchio looks incredibly young, even at 60.
He does. He does. He's still looking good. Well done, Ralph. Dolph Lundgren is 64 and still getting bigger. And Nick Saban is 70. That's their football coach, yes?
Yep, for Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Alabama football coach.
And my alma mater, who was unranked at the time out of the top 25, beat number one Alabama.
And who's that? Who's your alma mater?
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, the Aggies.
How did you know that?
I am quite a big American football fan.
Even college football?
Well, college football you find out about as a sort of side shoot from that. Yeah. We have very little access to it over here. So it's only really draft season when we hear about college very much.
Right, right. Well, I'm impressed that you've heard of my alma mater.
Oh, indeed, yes.
All right, how about some born this week, but now dead?
All right, thank you, Clay Groves. Alex, we have two people that were born on this day but are now dead. First, Marie Antoinette, who died in 1793 at the age of 37. Today, she would have been 266. And Christopher Columbus, who died in 1506 at the age of 54. Today, he would have turned 570.
Two people with fairly diminished historical profiles, I would say there.
I would agree.
They're not particularly well-loved, are they, either of them?
No. Mm-mm. That didn't age well.
No. They didn't age well. It's true. Yeah.
But either way, happy 570th and 266th birthday to Marie Antoinette and Christopher Columbus.
Will there be cake?
There's always cake. Let them eat cake, as they say. All right, Alex, I have one more thing before we go. Since you are a man of comedy, as am I, and I'm assuming, because I think we've talked about this, a fan of the Python Troupe.
Oh, yes.
I have a 12-question Monty Python quiz for you.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to test your Python knowledge. Are you ready?
As ready as I'm ever going to be.
Question number one, which member of the Monty Python Flying Circus was American?
Terry Gilliam.
That is correct. What was the title of the Python sketch meant to be a film allegedly directed by Sam Peckinpah, which featured a group of 1920s swells getting impaled on tennis rackets and losing fingers on a piano?
If I remember correctly, it was Sam Peckinpah's Salad Days.
Also correct. Question number three. In Monty Python's Meaning of Life, a brilliant film, what is the name of the obscenely obese man played by Terry Jones who explodes after finishing dinner with a wafer-thin cracker?
I think you'll find it was a wafer-thin mint. And his name was Monsieur Creosote.
Also correct. Okay, moving on. Question number four. And you are 3 for 3 so far. Monty Python's Life of Brian, another brilliant film, came about because of an offhand late 70s comment by Eric Idle, who said the troupe's next film was going to be called what? And would you like four choices?
Oh, yes, please.
Not the Bible, Monty Python Goes to Hell, Monty Python's Christmas, or Jesus Christ, Lust for Glory?
I was the fourth one, Jesus Christ, Lust for Glory.
That is correct. In 1978, Eric Idle wrote and starred in The Ruddles, All You Need Is Cash, a parody of both The Beatles and the documentary form. What Beatle had a small role in the film?
Ooh, was it Terry Jones?
What Beatle?
Oh, what Beatle? Sorry, George Harrison.
George Harrison is correct. Question number six. The opening credits to Monty Python and the Holy Grail parody what other film?
Ooh. Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I'll take the choices.
Vertigo, La Aventura, The Seventh Seal, or Rashomon? Rashomon?
I'm just trying to remember the opening credits to Holy Grail.
I am too.
I thought it was all the moose stuff.
The moose stuff.
Yeah. I'll go with The Seventh Seal.
That is correct. All right, question number seven. Which knight in Monty Python and the Holy Grail encounters the three-headed giant?
It is... Sir Robin.
That is correct. Which pair of pythons engaged in the fish slapping dance?
John Cleese and Michael Palin. And that is my absolute favorite Python sketch.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's a brilliant moment in it. Okay, so the whole dancing thing's really silly. Michael Palin getting slapped is really silly, but the really brilliant thing that makes it is the moment when John Cleese takes the fish out from behind his back and measures it against his arm. It's just such a beautifully precise comic moment.
All right, question number 9, as we're in the home stretch. In the famous parrot sketch, where was the parrot supposed to be from?
Norway.
That is correct, as you have not missed one yet. Question number 10, which one of these 1960s British shows did not feature a member of the Python troupe? Would you like your four options?
Well, I'd have to have them because I can't just guess or just give you names of shows that didn't have the Pythons in them.
Fair enough.
Kenneth Clark's Civilization.
That is correct. Not one of the four options, but none of the Python troupe was in that. Okay, your four options, Do Not Adjust Your Set, At Last, the 1948 show, I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, and That Was the Week That Was. Which show did not feature a member of the Python troupe?
Okay, so definitely there were pythons in At Last, the 1948 show. I'm pretty sure they were in That Was the Week That Was, and I think they were in Do Not Adjust Your Set as well. So what was the fourth option?
I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, or...
I'm going to go with that. I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again.
That was incorrect. The correct answer was That Was the Week That Was.
That Was the Week That Was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Question number 11. Which Python member was a trained physician?
Graham Chapman.
That is correct. And our final question. In 1998, the surviving members of Python came to the Aspen Comedy Festival with the late Graham Chapman's partner, David Sherlock. How was Chapman represented? Your options are he wasn't, a military uniform on a hanger, an urn full of ashes, or a toenail.
Oh, I don't know that one. I'm going to go with...
There's some good options there.
So it's between the military uniform and the urn of ashes for me. I'm going to go with the urn of ashes.
Okay, I would have guessed either the military uniform on a hanger or a toenail. Urn of Ashes is correct.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a Python-esque thing to do.
The Urn of Ashes.
Yeah.
You got 92%, missing only one question, more than proving your knowledge of the Monty Python troupe.
Yay!
And Alex, that brings us to the end of this episode of This Week Today. Would you like to tell people where they can find you and your work?
Yeah, okay. So Release the Clown, sketch comedy podcast, does exactly what it says in the name. We're a very silly sketch comedy podcast that can be found on Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all over the place, really. If you like stuff that is as stupid as it is clever, or as clever as it is stupid, we're the people for you.
Well, and I'll just say, it's by far my favorite sketch comedy podcast anywhere in the world of podcasting. You guys are as good as any famous comedians I've come across. You just don't happen to be famous.
we'll have to take that, really.
I really, really love it. I don't know how you could execute a comedy sketch podcast any better than what you guys do.
That is really, really nice for you to say. We put a lot of work into it. In particular, my co-producer Nick Hildred, who does all of the sound stuff, he puts so much effort into it and makes sure the sound, every sketch sounds right and has the depth of sound, the texture of sound, to actually it's like having another actor.
Alex, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure, anytime.
Yeah, and you guys have been tremendous friends of the show. You've even created a sketch, a custom sketch just for us, so we've always appreciated it.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah. It was terrific. All right, some brief credits before we go. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching @ThisWeekPod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 214-531-3936. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search at PodFix on Twitter. Thank you to our friend Phil Rude for our custom logo. For my very special guest, Alex Marion of Release the Clowns, I'm your co-host, Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network.
No, you're a poo.
Yeah, that'll do.